Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is December 27th, 2017. It is Wednesday already. It feels like it's only Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. It's funny when we skip a day. However, it's also the week before New Year's. And one thing I wanted to talk about was, what does it take to clean ourselves up before then, to plan for the New Year's, to let go of what we need to let go of, to keep what we need to keep? And one of the things that people carry with them, big thing that people carry with them, is a breakup. And a lot of times breakups are abrupt and there's no talking. There's a lot of arguing, no talking, speaking, dissolving issues. Instead, people leave at the height of their issues. So instead of doing a show about, wait, let's see how, you know, to have a relationship or be in a relationship, what should or where have we grown to? Can you unbreak a breakup and be better than you were before? Possible. Because usually the issues, people who go back without resolving the issues, immediately find the same issues again, and they leave again. But there's love there, which is what made them try again. The love is strong enough for the two of them to make sure that they try again. So can you unbreak a breakup for real? And can you go back? Can you be better? Well, let's find out. It's a big question. It is a big question. I know some people might not have been out of love yet, and one of them may have, and they break up, and one of them kind of carries a torch, and it never burns out, and they never get over it, and we get stuck there. But really, we aren't stuck there because we love the person so much. Because, wow, this person did this, this, and this, and did they love us, and why do we love them? But the truth of the matter is, it's kind of almost like a math problem. It looks like it's going to be a big number, and you're going to get all this money, and you find out there's a decimal point, and it's less money by two spaces to the left. That's what it's like when we leave unfinished. So in our minds, we're still thinking it's a lot of money. We forgot that there is a decimal point. We start covering things up with rose-colored glasses. Oh, but he was great. Oh, but this. Oh, but that. But as people have gotten older, one huge thing I noticed is when they do break up, because now they're not kids and they're not breaking up just to turn over and run and find someone else. As you get older, it's not that easy to find someone you can trust or kind of trust, have in your life or not. It's like it's a whole different story just to find someone you have something in common with that you enjoy. You enjoy their life. They enjoy yours. But there's these little things that have been unresolved, little angers that haven't been approached or talked about while you were going out the first time. In some cases, the second time. When you break up with another soul, how do you go back? What kind of work does it take to revisit who you are, who they are, and take a look at what changed or was different between you? And what is the bond that kept you together in the first place? And how did it work for you at the time? And how can it work for you again? How do you build trust again and grow to understanding yourself enough to know what you want by staying away or returning to the relationship. So here's the example. There's a couple, and they broke up twice, and the second time, I'm going to say in quotes, for good. And what happened was, one of the two, it started with him, he went to therapy because he wanted to figure out what the heck is he doing and what component in him is missing. She was just relieved, but she was upset, but it was really a hard breakup for her because she really realized in all of it, even mad at him, she did still love him. She wasn't an obsessive love. She just realized, oh my God, I really love this guy, but I'm so mad at him. So when he wrote her, she felt kind of hard to get, kind of was off and on and, you know, waited a day or two to answer. And she just didn't know what to answer. It wasn't a game she was playing or anything like that. But he realized that, oh, wow, she still responded after a day or two. For him, it was the fact that she even responded. For her, she thought she was, you know, showing how upset she still was by not, you know, jumping at the chance or chomping at the bit or whatever you want to say about it. So then what happens is they started talking. He started telling her a little bit about what he's learning about himself. To her, it wasn't that profound, but, you know, he's a guy. And he looks at the world differently. You can't look at it the way she looked at it. Otherwise, where would the issue have been? But she had, without realizing it, and it took this exchange. And this went on, mind you, not for a week or 2 weeks. This went on for 3 months. Communication only by email. They did not see each other. They did not speak on the phone or hear each other's voices. They truly were on a path of self-discovery through each other. And they found out a lot. And that's what made me want to do this show. Because the things they found out and the exchanges that happened between them taught them both a lot about themselves. Is anybody perfect? No. Is anybody wrong all the time? No. This was a huge lesson in self-awareness, self-forgiveness. Because I will tell you what happened. The minute there was a self-forgiveness, forgiving the other person was a no-brainer because we can't give what we don't have. But to realize that she wasn't right and she thought, holy cow, I was right. He's an idiot. She even said that to me in those words. Who the heck would do and fill in the blank? There was so many things I couldn't keep track. But the beauty was I knew them both. I know them both. And the cool part was, it wasn't just like working with them because it was a little bit here and a little bit there. It wasn't like a work with them. I was totally intrigued and amazed by the compassion that they had for each other. And I was like, do you realize that you guys, instead of how mad you are, do you guys care about each other so much that even after you both broke up, you couldn't break the bond? You didn't want it to be there, but there is a bond there. And it's huge. Neither one of you were able to let go of the bond. So one reached out to the other and the other reached out back because in the quietest moments, past the anger, past why not, past everything. And it started not when the man saw what he was doing, because he already knew what he was in trouble for, but when she saw what she was doing, when she saw how in her own way, without realizing it, she didn't push him out, but she had this way of her of leaving nothing left to do for anybody else around her, whether it was her kids, whether it was her boyfriend, whether it was her job, whatever it was, she did. She was so efficient that the people around her didn't know what to do for her. And that left her boyfriend of the moment, but also boyfriends of the past, feeling left out. That realization alone on her part of hogging, you know, usually people try to get out of work and people try to get out of doing stuff. She would jump in because in her mind, she fully believed that the more she did, the more valuable she was. And she realized it was because her self-esteem and confidence of somebody loving her just for her was compromised. Once she saw that, she softened towards him in two ways. One was, oh, wow, I was blaming him for being in a relationship by himself. But so was I. So then she started to see him a little differently, like, hey, wait a minute, he did try to do this, he did try to do that, but I had to be the know-it-all. Then she started listening to him better. Then she started digging in her own life, like, God, I do that. You know what? He's always talking about him having an abandonment issue. I have one too. Oh, my Lord. That's what attracted us to each other. We thought we'd be each other's safe haven in this crazy world. That's what we thought. But then I got mad at him, and so I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel like he had my back. And for all intents and purposes, he didn't know how to have her back. And she also did not know how to have his, because she just became like a little, I know it's funny, she called herself a love slave. Like, you know, she's a slave to love. Every time she falls in love, she wants to take care of everybody and everything. And she said, I become that. I become that to anyone I'm with once I'm with them. And I don't want to be that person. I don't want to gobble up the relationship and leave the other person feeling like, okay, wow, look at, she does this and she does that. She goes, I'm not a toy that you put a battery in and they go, but that's how I treated myself, not how he treated me. Think about that. Really, really think about that. She, one of her biggest issues with him, blamed him for, was that she felt like she was doing everything in the relationship. She believed she was the man and the woman, and he was there. And I asked her, what was he there for in your life? And as honest as she could say it, she's like, I don't know. I don't even know why I wanted a boyfriend. I said, but you guys were together for a while. Why leave now? She's like, well, I keep leaving. But the reason I keep leaving is because every time we break up, that's when we really talk. That's when he misses me. See, he did need me. See, I did do a lot for him. And I said, that's how you sounded in the beginning. But you don't sound like that anymore. Because self-forgiveness allowed her to see him. And it took them a few rounds to get there. It took them a few rounds. The bond, love, you find out what that means through the tug of war that we have to go through sometimes. Nobody ever said love was easy. Some people make it look shinier than others. Some people have less baggage in that area and might have it more in another area of life. But love is all about seeing yourself, learning who you are, because there is no way anyone will ever be able to see another person without knowing what they're doing there. Whether it's the man or the woman, in this case, the man got blamed for everything. And in some cases, rightly so, from what I found out. But those things start happening when people don't know why they're there and they're outdone by the other partner. In one of their communications, and she said this is the thing that started her listening, was that he said to her, and I'm working on it, but she didn't realize she had to work on herself. She looked perfect. She was a little Energizer bunny. She did everything. And look, I can do this trick. And look, I can do that. So what ended up happening was she realized that she looked at a relationship as taking on another child, taking care of another person, but she wanted the man to take care of her the way traditional men took care of a woman a long time ago, very long ago, and she wanted to take care of everyone the way women did a very long time ago. Where she got that from, she's still working on that one. But she has a pretty good idea. But she wanted it to be in the year, whatever, how long ago they've known each other, to 2017. It's an amazing, sobering, bearing look at yourself through a relationship. How do you affect the people around you? As a result of them, I had a younger boy, and he's just like getting his feet wet with liking girls, not even dating them, liking. And the first thing I said to him was, dating is to teach you about yourself. Through someone you like enough or are attracted to enough to learn it through. And if you learn it and you're both able to learn together, you will stay together. Don't find that you're learning with or through this person. You will have no need to stay together. Think about that. We date to learn about ourselves through someone we find attractive enough to learn through them. And if we are learning with them, that means we're thriving, because when we're learning, that's when we thrive the most. So we have the drive to stay there. In the beginning, it's all about curiosity. Even with love at first sight, you don't know the person. But if you can know the person and feel like there's enough love there, there's enough thriving, the bond is not broken. Oh my gosh, I can be upset at this person. I can be vulnerable in front of them. I can appreciate because I realized I do miss the person. I don't want to. I was really mad at him and still I'm mad at him for some things. But I think we're safe now. I think we've learned enough about each other to feel like we're thriving instead of like, oh, heck no, I'm not staying for that. Truly is an amazing growth. And then to reconsider, you don't just jump right back in because you're going to fall right back into the old habit. But then to reconsider. Just to reconsider. Going back and trying again. Without trying, just go back, be friends first. Feel okay as friends. Feel okay as partners, working partners. Let yourselves grow to the place where you feel like, oh, that sweet spot of knowing that you can accept yourself in a relationship. And of course, I ask Christ. I always say that. I just love asking Christ because I used to write down these top 10 things and all this stuff, and now Christ is like, boom, boom, boom. So he said, this is what happens. Once you break up with someone, don't just jump in with anybody else. I don't care if you broke up with the person for somebody else. Give yourself time to heal, to see, to learn, and then decide what to do. We all need time. It's almost like being inhumane to yourself, walking up to the meal and then not tasting it or not eating it. If you just break up and jump in with someone else to numb the pain of your last relationship. I've seen that. Some people sulk and hide from the world, but they don't revisit with the person. Hey, what really did happen there? What really did happen? And when you find out and you talk and you write back and forth, even though it's not every day, we're so into quick fixes right now. But even outside of relationships, anything that happens in our lives, it's usually through relationships, but any kind of changes, economic, physical, you move. And believe it or not, you move up or down. Doesn't matter. You get a bigger place, smaller place. There's always a period of adjustments. And I had to think about that, and I thought, oh, my gosh, every time I moved, because, you know, when you rent, and I pretty much rented my way through my kids' childhood, but we lived, you know, every place for a while, but, you know, by the time they grow up, it adds up, and you know, you take a look back. But every time we did, it would take me 2 to 3 months to get a walking pattern. I love to walk, but I realized every time I moved, the first month is all about unpacking, getting rid of whatever you're doing. It takes a while for me because I'm just usually doing it by myself, and the kids do their rooms, but I'm doing the other stuff. And it takes me a while to get to know the neighborhood, to find a good walk route, because I'm like a creature of habit. Once I get a walk route, I'm like, I just do that same walk route every time because it just makes it easier for me. But it takes me just being in a new environment, whether you're getting, you know, in or out, it takes me 2 to 3 months to get that down, and before I start walking again, believe it or not. So every time I move, I end up not walking right away. I might try to. I usually have the intention to, but because in my head I don't know where I'm going yet, I don't do it, and I keep thinking, okay, I'll get there. And I realized I did this everywhere I went, just to adjust to a new environment. And when you break up with somebody, you yourself are adjusting to a new environment. You're adjusting to an environment without that person. There isn't texting all day. There isn't phoning all day. There isn't, planning the weekend. Let's do this. Let's do that. All of that is gone in one full swoop. Boom. It's just gone. And then you're like lonely. Then you're sad. Then you're mad. Then you're angry. Then you don't know who you need to talk to about it. And you start going through this whole cycle of emotions. And you have to tell yourself, I can't make any decisions now because I am too raw. I am vulnerable. It's hard to go through it. It's like the equivalent, I know she was funny when she said this, but she said it's like detoxing from junk food. Not that the relationship was junk food, but you go through withdrawal. You go through deep sadness because in your mind, you need to reconcile what happened. So they finally did decide to see each other. They're communicating back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. He asked her if he could come and see her and take her for dinner. And it was like he was courting her again. Brought her flowers. They just went for a simple dinner, not like a knock out of the park makeup dinner. Just to talk, just to look at each other when they talk. And on his end, he was very surprised that it felt like they didn't miss a beat. They sat and they talked, and it was just the most natural feeling in the world. And the things they talked about didn't have to do with their issues. They realized that they both learned a lot from their issues, enough to have healed, enough to have seen each other and appreciate all the great things about each other instead of focusing on the things that can tear them apart, because those things already tore them apart. And this is the best part of it all. Victorious within themselves, towards themselves. Him saying, wow, I'm glad you know everything about me now. Because now I can just be myself. And she's like, you weren't yourself the whole time? And he goes, no, I was most of the time. But when I got scared, I was also myself. And I pushed you away. And I'm really sorry about that because that caused all these other issues. And they started to see each other as people, not as each other's ownership or possession or, oh, well, look what you did to me. Well, look what you, and now it became a war of the roses. But they saw each other as people because they learned to see themselves as people too. And they're going slow, but they're making plans. They're trying to help each other. They're stepping out of their own boxes. They're giving themselves the time to respond without feeling like, well, I better do this or he or she's going to be upset with me. The more we know ourselves, and what Christ said was, give yourself time, heal, see, learn, then decide. People who can overcome a breakup because the love didn't go, now trust that love and they're able to be together again, only this time with a sense of appreciation for who the other person is. Because they gave each other time. I have like 5 seconds left. I love you guys. I will see you tomorrow for Dream Theme Thursday. Have a great day.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn